Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know. I was just rooting that you were going to somehow spell over wrong.
Okay. I'm not going to spell it for Spike.
So where do you want to eat?
Feels like an Arby's night.
Arby's. Beef and cheese and... Do you believe in God?
That's not like a word like knife where you could mess it up. Like,
well, I know. That's why it would have been funny.
Over.
I mean, is there really a need for the K?
Yes.
Oh. So, you're pretty religious.
Not true.
What do you think about it?
Yes.
When God was making the alphabet or spelling words, why did he put a K there?
You think God
just
really
did? Okay.
All right, all right. I don't want to get into theology.
Yeah, Catholic boy over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I don't want to dive into
it.
But think about it.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight.
More breaking news from Tom Pelissero around the Green Bay Packers. We already know that Jair Alexander not going to be reporting to mandatory minicamp this week for the green and gold because, well, going to be released. Ian Rappaport reporting that earlier today. Rob Domofsky et al. At ESPN also reporting that. Speaking of Rob, he's joining us in 12 minutes. Tom Pelissero, 3 minutes ago. In other Packers news, offensive lineman Elgton Jenkins, who skipped voluntary workouts amidst mid-contract talks, has reported to mandatory minicamp, though it seems unlikely he'll practice this week, which is not shocking, and seems like he's showing up just to avoid being fined.
Yeah, yeah, it would not be, I would not personally advise Elgton Jenkins to hit the field before he has any sort of contract restructure done, because if he does freak accident, something happens, suffer an injury, the Packers would not, out of the goodness of their hearts, pay him. So it is a smart decision. It does show that he's not the full insubordinate. I'm not showing up. Deal with it. He's doing his part. It does. Well, it's contentious because if you're not participating, there is some sort of contention there. It does seem like he feels pretty comfortable showing up and being around and getting a contract done before the season starts.
Yeah. And that's, again, we'll see how that continues to play out. Maybe some of the money they save with Jair Alexander
yes.
will go towards Elgton Jenkins. But we asked the question. He is the first draft pick of the Brian Gutekunst era, Jair Alexander. Is he the best draft pick? And I think the answer, Josh, unequivocally and very simply is yes. He is the only draft pick that has made an all-pro team. He's twice made second team all-pro. And while there is, you know, certainly potential behind a lot of these guys that we've talked about today, especially on the defense from last year, Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, all have a lot of potential. They haven't reached that potential yet. So we've seen, you know, guys that we were excited about that could potentially reach, but just didn't. So I would say right now, without a doubt, Jair Alexander is the best draft pick of the Brian Gutekunst era.
So to me, there's probably three or four guys you could actually consider as best draft pick. Obviously, the one we're discussing now, Jair Alexander. The one we just mentioned, Elgton Jenkins, for where he was drafted and what he's become, a sort of perennial Pro Bowl player, one of the guys that all the tape grinders and the evaluators will tell you is incredible. Then obviously, Zach Tom, who's one of the best right tackles in all of football. And then, of course, Jordan Love. I'm having a hard time parsing out and figuring out how I could, in good conscience, rate Jair above Jordan Love. Despite me thinking Jordan Love needs to perform better, needs to play better, needs to elevate his game to elevate the Packers to where they need to be, it's hard to look at the singular most important position on the field and not realize that the Packers are in the spot they are in because Jordan Love was able to replace Aaron Rodgers to a, at very least, competent to pretty good level at times.
So a competent quarterback, a guy who is not a top 10 quarterback.
Yep.
No, I just can't go there. I just can't go there. He hasn't earned a single accolade. Like, in order to be a really good draft pick, I don't care how much money you make. Rashawn Gary got a bunch of money, too. He's inexplicably made a Pro Bowl. Like, Jair Alexander is one of the top five, has been one of the top five guys at his position. I don't think it's even close. Like, Jordan Love, yeah, sure, it was good. It was an okay, it was a good draft pick. But unless Jordan Love actually develops into the guy that you're talking about, it could end up being a disastrous draft pick.
I feel, in confidence, I can say it is not and will not be a disastrous draft pick of Jordan Love. He is at very least...
It could be a disastrous contract.
I don't even believe that. With the amount of level that the money that it costs to acquire and keep a franchise level... Like, Jordan Love is a franchise quarterback. Is he a... is he one of the top? Is he elite, basically? Well, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, he's being paid like a franchise quarterback.
Right.
Do I think he can eventually perform like that on a consistent basis? Yes, I do. Has he done that yet? No, he has not. And if he had, we wouldn't be talking about how he needs to be better in order for the Packers to get where they need to go.
I think anybody safely in that top 15 is a franchise quarterback. The difference is, can they be elite? Can he elevate his level of play to where he's talked with Lamar Jackson?
Okay, we're now splitting hairs. It's like, okay.
I think splitting hairs here is important.
Well, because you're talking about somebody who is, like in baseball, every team technically has an ace because somebody has to be first in the rotation, right? But not every team actually has an ace.
I think that's an unfair comparison because Jordan Love, I mean, we talked about Will Levis earlier in the pick six he threw. That was their franchise quarterback, but they hadn't made that decision yet. Jordan Love got a second contract. He's taken a team to the playoffs twice. He's won a playoff game. He's here for the long haul. There is no where. Do you think there's really any chance, unless Jordan Love's play tanks in the next two seasons, that he's not a Green Bay Packer for a third contract? Well, technically, that's probably fourth because he got a second contract.
The weird thing that they did instead of doing the fifth year option, was very, very strange.
So, I think he's going to be the Packers franchise quarterback for the long haul. How long that is it simply another extension after this one? But Brian Gutekunst and team has told you this is our guy, and this is the guy we think we can win a Super Bowl with. And I think that's important enough because... I'm not trying to take away from Jair here. I think...
No, that's exactly what you're doing.
Maybe,
but go, continue.
Maybe I'm colored by the fact that he played in 50% of the games the past four seasons.
Yeah, I think you're not remembering how good Jair was pre-injuries.
I think I remember.
I don't think you do.
You don't tell me what I remember, Dave.
I think it's my brain.
I value quarterback play and even... Above average to good quarterback play is more valuable than even the best cornerback in the league, which I think has been a long time since Jair's been there.
He was one of the top five cornerbacks like 2 years ago.
When he was on the field?
Yeah. And last year, I mean, he still finished second on the team in interception, second on the team in pass breakups, despite playing only half the games last year.
Yeah, that's great. 50% of somebody is still a failing grade.
I mean... Like, Jordan's good.
We agree.
Jordan's good. I just don't... I want you to be at least a top 10 position. Like,
you can build your team with cornerbacks.
I'll do quarterbacks. I think if I put a team of 11 corners on the field, I'd beat your team of 11 quarterbacks.
I don't know. Josh Allen, Jayden Daniels, Lamar Jackson. That's... I mean, Josh Allen could be the best tight end on earth if he wanted to be.
I mean... Probably true. It's probably true. Yeah. I'm just saying, Jordan hasn't ascended to the level of, like, if he's in your top 10, like, he's in the back half of your top 10.
Yes.
And I would not even say, like, I think both of you and I would put him in the top 10.
Yes, yes.
So I think we find common ground there, but I don't think it's undisputed.
No, right? Certainly not. I think a lot more people have him just outside.
Yeah.
It's probably 50-50. He's either in the 8, 9, 10, or the 11, 12, 13 for people. I think that is universally pretty much agreed upon. Mm-hmm. Now, Bears, Vikings, Lions fans might not agree with that, but I think they're colored the opposite way we may be colored putting them into the top 10.
Yeah.
The important thing to me is just simply position value and the gumption it took to make that draft pick at the point that it was made. I think it, like, Jair was incredible as a draft pick, and I don't even really, I remember him sort of being talked as a first-round prospect, but not like a surefire. It's not like a Cooper DeJean who ended up actually falling to the second round. It wasn't like, this guy's a first-rounder, and he fell to them. Goody went out and made a pick and took a guy he believed in, and it ended off paying off for half the time as beautifully as you could ever imagine. You had a guy that was an all-pro, a guy you felt good enough at the time to sign to one of the most lucrative defensive back contracts ever. So I am splitting a thin hair here because of position value, but I also understand it's a great pick, and it is one of that probably helped the Packers be where they are in the waning years of Aaron Rodgers.
I will just say, going back to your Jordan Love conversation, now again, I would not bet on this to happen, but I do see a world where the end of this contract is it for Jordan Love. That world, that's a possibility.
I think,
like, if he does not improve,
copy and paste,
if he stays at this level and does not improve, do you think that they want to pay $74 million against the cap in 2028?
I think he'll get a different contract with a
$15 million dead cap, or do they just walk away?
I don't think they would walk away. That's an interesting debate. Now, this is Jair was released, and now we're debating Jordan Love. But I think copy and paste 2024 for the next two seasons, I think Jordan Love gets another contract. It's probably not going to be
I mean, the placeholder is 2028. Like, 2027, you can still skate by because at that time, the cap hits $42.5 million, and who knows how much the cap's going to go up. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, just with the way contracts go and people trying to lock in their futures,
yeah.
I don't see it going much past, like, a third year. Like, the 2 years that then you're kind of discussing, are we in the market for a new quarterback, or are we sticking with the one we have? And I think his play was adequate enough that they would blame things around him, as we've seen them do this offseason.
See, that's what I don't like.
I don't love it either.
I don't like how they're willing to make excuses for Jordan Love left and right.
And I don't think Jordan Love wants excuses made. He has not shown...
But he made one of the excuses himself. Well, what do you mean? Like,
I think
both him and Matt LaFleur understood the question that was being asked and decided to lock on...
Yes.
To the, oh, what do you mean it was a regression? We won more games, or he did this. And the fact of the matter is, Jordan Love needs to be better.
Yeah.
In order for the Packers to win a Super Bowl.
I think it's two different things there. Matt LaFleur is just full-throated defense of his quarterback and going to support him however he can. And I think Jordan Love was caught a little off guard and got defensive, which...
It happens.
I could see that happening.
Yeah,
if somebody tells me, hey, you need to be better, like... Who are you, Rob Domofsky, telling me I need to be better? Not that that was him, actually.
Speaking of Rob Domofsky, he is going to join us to break down everything happening with Jair Alexander being released. That's coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN. Put the past
away with you. That's right, Jair Alexander, no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. He is being released today. Have to wait and see if he ends up elsewhere. We'll get more on that with Rob Domofsky, ESPN.com Packers reporters. He'll be joining us here in about 10 minutes. But I did want to get to this audio today, boys, because this happened, part of the American Family Insurance Championship that happened in Madison over the weekend. Our boys from Wilde and Tausch were out there, and then Jordan Love, who's an AmFam ambassador, was also out at the tournament. So Jason Wilde had an opportunity to sit down. It wasn't a long conversation, just under 3 minutes. You can check it out, the full conversation, on the Wilde and Tausch Twitter page. But there was also some significant breaking news happening on Friday's Aaron Rodgers. Going to be officially a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Wilde got to ask Jordan about facing off against his former teammate.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited for it. You know, I can't wait to be on different sides, meeting up. And I know we'll talk pregame, things like that. And hopefully we can exchange jerseys after.
Do you think they'll actually exchange jerseys?
So I thought about this when I first saw this audio. I was trying to figure out what Packers player would be more deserving of Aaron Rodgers' game used jersey. Now, a lot of times what ends up happening now is some of these guys have like multiple jerseys. They'll change at halftime. Mm-hmm. So they'll give out more than one. But I don't know. Like, there's no for certain future Hall of Famer or like this team from the one Aaron Rodgers left is vastly
different.
It's not like Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson are going to command that. You could argue Elgton Jenkins, perhaps, would be deserving.
Yeah. Like if David Bakhtiari was still on the team, I would say, okay,
shoo-in.
Yeah, because they're boys.
There's no Charles Woodson. There's no...
But Aaron still has a really good relationship with Jordan.
Yes.
Like they and Jordan has openly talked about that, and Jordan did talk about how Rodgers handled him being the backup quarterback situation differently than the predecessor, Brett Favre, did as well in that interview. Jordan Love talking about how Rodgers handled the backup situation. Again, this from Jason Williams, a sit-down with Jordan Love at the AmFam Championship.
He's been through the very same situation I was in, and he knows what it feels like to be in that situation. So I think that's a testament to his character and the way he treats people. You know, he was trying to go about it differently than it was for him, and I was grateful for that.
As much as Aaron Rodgers has gone back on a lot of the things he said, following the Brett Favre years.
I'm going to retire at 38. I'm not going to do this willy won't he thing. He did say he had interest outside of football. That's continued. He's just done them while still being in
both
football.
Both of them together. The one thing he did right by, and the one person he did right by, was Jordan Love. He held his promise of I would never treat a guy like I was treated, which is a positive. And that is the one thing I can say I'm truly appreciative of. As a Packers fan, that it didn't go the way amongst the quarterbacks. Obviously, the fallout with the front office is well played. We saw it all. We heard every aspect of it. But the one thing he did hold true to, and the one thing you can hold Aaron Rodgers to, is he was more welcoming to the replacement of him. Not that, I shouldn't say welcoming. He treated his replacement better. He helped him. He was more accommodating to him. He didn't go out and say, well, it's not my job. He didn't do all the stuff that we remember Brett Favre doing. He just went out and won MVPs and then helped that quarterback grow with him as well.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that you know Joe Flacco had to do and answer the question earlier this offseason because they've got the two young quarterbacks in Cleveland, and it made me think of the Brett Favre situation because Brett still did, at the end of the day, mentor Aaron.
Yes.
Like you've heard the stories and those things still happen within the quarterback room. You have conversations, you're a younger player, you're learning from the older player. Like, so, but Rodgers, I do feel like he also went out of his way.
Yes.
To kind of help Jordan Love get better.
To be different.
Which is why they still have a relationship to this day.
Yeah. And there is no doubt in my mind that part of the player Jordan is today is because of Aaron Rodgers. Now, he doesn't share some of the same traits with, you know, protecting the ball. But there are aspects of Jordan's game that you can go, that's an Aaron thing. They've seemed to have tried to keep the catching teams off balance and when they're doing defensive switches and stuff. So there are, at times, as much as Jordan can play like Brett Favre, you can see a degree of Jordan acting like Aaron Rodgers as well. Now,
I mean,
it seems
fairness,
like he's taken some of the good stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, the free plays, especially the Caden stuff, did start with Brett.
Right.
It ran to Aaron, and it seems like that's just going to be, you know, the lineage of Packers quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's just part of the game for them.
Yeah, it's just a part of, despite having obviously different coaches, you know, throughout that timeline, it just seems like it's going to be a part of whoever the Packers quarterbacks are going to be. But it seems like he's looking forward to having that matchup against Aaron Rodgers, assuming both can stay healthy by the time we get to late October.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game of the season, right? That's the, as much as the division and all that will matter, the most eyes...
From an entertainment standpoint, yes.
Yes, it's going to be fun to watch on the other side, see the newcomer against the old guy. It's also like the... It would have felt different with the Jets. The fact that it's the second team Aaron's been on, I think it also makes it a little more, you're not as spiteful and caught up in it because he didn't go in division. He didn't try and orchestrate his way. He's just trying to find the best team to help him try and, well, let's be honest, make the playoffs. That's a win at Aaron Rodgers' point of his career. So it's national TV. They put it there for a reason. You're going to see every storyline that week possible come out of the Aaron Rodgers versus Jordan Love. And then it's also going to be Aaron Rodgers versus Brian Gutekunst,
yep,
versus Matt LaFleur, versus whoever. Maybe it's against versus Romeo Doubs. Who knows? Because of that storyline of he never really talked to me. Like, all those guys are going to be asked questions about Aaron Rodgers during that week. It'll be interesting to see how they all approach it.
Yeah, Romeo will be. Elgton Jenkins will be. Anybody, I guess, would Kenny Clark be asked about, just because Kenny's the longest tenured guy?
I think so. I mean, Rashawn Gary played with him. I don't imagine they were the closest of friends, being on opposite sides of the ball.
Well, because they were on opposite sides of the ball.
And about 10 years difference in age plus.
Like, so, again, I think of Kenny, because Kenny was there from 2016, like,
right,
for a significant amount of time.
Correct.
They probably had some sort of crossover.
Right, but even, like,
the offensive line has changed dramatically.
I'm sure Jayden Reed's going to be asked about him. Like, I'm sure everyone's going to be asked, despite them not playing against him. They're going, what is it playing against a future Hall of Famer, a guy who's going to have his
at Lambeau Field?
Right. It's going to kind of consume the entirety of that week for the Packers. It'll be interesting to see how they react to that.
Well, it's amazing how many different players, again, like you said, the roster turnover. Since Aaron Rodgers was here.
Right. You can count on one hand how many of the guys are still there, I think. Jordan, Kenny,
Rashawn. So Jordan, Kenny, Rashawn, Elgton. Did Zach Tom cross over?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Zach Tom would have crossed over because he was a rookie that year.
Gotcha.
Because Zach Tom was a part of the...
And then Quay and Devontae. So it's a handful of guys. But all the guys that are there were like rookies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... like, I don't imagine Devontae Wyatt and Aaron Rodgers had many conversations at all. They're not on the same side of the ball.
Yeah.
They're such a big age difference. Like, the guys who actually know Aaron are basically Jordan and Elgton.
Yeah. Huh?
And then Kenny
because Kenny was drafted in 2016.
Right.
Like, he was there.
But aside
forever.
From that, it's few and far between at this point.
Just so much turnover. That's crazy also to think about. Jair Alexander, not going to be a Packer anymore. Rob Domofsky breaks it down with us coming up next. But if you are dealing with low testosterone, Mentality is the place you need to go. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. So what does that mean? Well, with testosterone, maybe, you know, as you're getting older, there are certain signs that you're going through. Tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy to attack your day the way you used to be able to. Those are all signs of low testosterone. You go to Mentality to find out if it is. LowTUSA.com. Book an appointment. Go through the process. At the end of it, if your testosterone levels are low after the testing, then you can work with Mentality to get a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. That's what's awesome about Mentality. This isn't one size fits all where you see those commercials on TV. Hey, just take it. No, this is going to be customized for you. And then you go back every 12 or 13 weeks to make sure that you're maintaining the testosterone levels and feel the way that you should be feeling. It has worked for me. It has worked wonders for me. I absolutely stand by and swear what Mentality does. And you can as well. Go to LowTUSA.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. LowTUSA.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
The game has to be a continuation of the trend they're on. They can't just sort of go in on a level that, you know, they've been at. They probably do need to play their best game, but I do think it's trending in the right direction.
A prolific golfer?
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
And noted hoopshead.
If you shoot 60% from the free throw line, you're a bad free throw shooter. If you're 60% in the red zone, I don't think that's good.
It's Rob Domofsky time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This better be a great segment.
Oh, we know it's going to be a great segment with our guy, Rob Domofsky, ESPN.com, part of the team over there breaking the news today. Jair Alexander being released today by the Green and Gold. Good morning, Rob.
Hi, Gabe. Josh, how are you guys?
Lovely. Happy to be talking to you.
It's football season, right?
Yeah, it is. Well, at least through this week, and then you get like a 6-week reprieve before we get to training camp. And now we know Jair Alexander not going to be a part of the team, Rob. Was this always the deadline? Because I feel like I was trying to figure that out throughout the course of this offseason, because we knew Jair, the situation didn't seem tenable. But it's like, okay, well, they want to trade him. Oh, they got to trade him before the draft. Okay, obviously not. Oh, then does post-June 1? Okay, that date came and went. But before he was going to report for mandatory minicamp, was that the deadline all along that they wanted to get something done?
You know, not necessarily, Gabe. They could have let him come to minicamp and just not let him practice. The reason you wouldn't want him to practice is because if he practices and gets hurt on your grounds, then you're on the hook for $17 million this season, whether he can play or not. So I don't necessarily think it was. To be honest with you, they could have taken this all the way to week one if they really wanted to. I kind of think, just personally, they took it a little too far as it is. I don't know what the market's going to be for Jair Alexander now. You know, the Packers, I understand that it's a business, and maybe they ultimately decided that, the pay cut, maybe Jair decided the pay cut wasn't, going to work for him. Maybe they really did actually want him back if he was willing to pay for X amount of dollars. And we don't know what that necessarily is. Although I did hear that the money was not necessarily the issue with Jair's camp, but the structure of it, I have no idea what that means. Maybe there wasn't enough guaranteed money. I don't know. But, you're talking to a guy who thought this might be settled, before free agency, and then it wasn't settled before free agency. I thought maybe it would be before the draft. So, it's just, I guess for both sides, it's probably better that it is settled if this was going to be the end game anyway. I do think for Jair, though, it probably hurts him a little bit now with, teams having filled needs in other ways via free agency or the draft.
Rob, to your knowledge, after the potential for any trade fell through earlier in the offseason, were the Packers and Jair actively negotiating a contract, or were they sort of given an option and they didn't like it, and then we just kind of sat stagnant? Like, how did that process go as far as you're aware?
Yeah, I don't think there was a ton of negotiation, Josh, in there. I think it was, look, Jair, if you want to come back, here's how we see it happening. Because I don't really think that a contract proposal with specifics was really done until about maybe middle of May, 3-4 weeks ago. So it's not like there was a lot of negotiating back and forth. And look, I think for Jair's part, I think he probably, and his agent, John Thornton, probably said, you know what, we're going to force their hand by showing up to minicamp. This sort of gets back to Gabe's question, originally. Like, if you're the player, you kind of want to know what's going to happen. Where am I going to be? And if you're the team, you want to, and you still think maybe he could help you, you want to try to find a way to make that happen. Obviously, it did.
Talking with Rob Domofsky as Jair Alexander has been released today. So does he end up in Minnesota, what, by dinner time today, breakfast tomorrow? When's he going to become a Viking?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question, but I'm sure, Justin Jefferson's probably not, and Amon-Ra St. Brown and some of the receivers in the division aren't, broken up about this, that maybe they don't have to face him. Now, how many times a year does he play anyway, which is the root of this whole problem and how we got to this point. But, it's be interesting to see what the market is for him. I mean, look, he was supposed to make $17.5 million this year. Well, he already gave away $500,000 of that because he didn't show up for the offseason program. So $17 million in salary and whatever bonuses were left. What is the market? What does someone pay him? Is it, is it $4 million? Is it $8 million? I can't see it being $10 million, but maybe it is. And at this point, like we said, so many teams have used the draft and free agency to fill their needs. I mean, just off the top of my head, it seems like Dallas is always involved in these types of players, right? Minnesota, I suppose, is a possibility, although
I was joking, Rob, but then you look at their cornerback room and you're like, maybe.
I know. Yeah, right. And I mean, there's a few teams like that. You look at, speaking of cornerback rooms, I've seen some reaction on social media that, well, now the Packers have the worst cornerback or worst secondary in the league or worst cornerback situation. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you played the clip of last week from Keyshawn Nixon. I asked him the question, What do you think of your secondary? And he went through player by player by player and never mentioned Jair. So even the players kind of knew that this was probably coming.
Off of that, Rob, do you think that corner is the weakest position group on the Packers heading into 2025?
I mean, I kind of thought it was one of the weak ones even in the draft after, you know, after they had signed Nate Hobbs. I guess in my mind, I always had written Jair off. I go back to the original reporting that we had done, me, other people on the beat, shortly after the season when, you know, multiple sources and people were mad at me for saying this, but multiple sources had told me the Packers were just, they were done. You know, they didn't want to go through this. You know, I reported very strongly in February and, you know, people got mad at me and I stand by that original reporting. I always tell people, you know, I can't tell you my sources, but if I could, you would believe the reports, you know, like, I guess I had already sort of written him off, Josh, and thought that it was a position of great need and was quite frankly, even after signing Hobbs, was surprised that, you know, they waited until the seventh round to pick a quarterback.
What do you think the disconnect then is between fan base and analysts and what the Packers are approaching it with? Is it simply they didn't view the draft as strong enough at that position, or does Brian Gutekunst and company think those guys are far better than everyone else?
It's probably that, to be honest with you. I mean, like, you know, you can even look at draft picks that way. You know, I remember seeing, I can't remember if it was Baron Sorrell or somebody when they got picked in the fourth round. It was like, I had him graded as a seventh round pick, or this analyst had him graded. Well, you know what? The Packers did it.
Right.
So they took him there because that's where they had him graded. And, you know, like I get a kick out of these people. I had him graded here. I had him. Well, who cares what you had graded? What's your credibility? You know, who cares where you had him graded? So they reached for this guy or that guy or, you know, whatever. So, I think it's probably a great point, Josh, and that, you know, the Packers feel a certain way about their group, and doesn't mean they won't add to it. You know, doesn't mean there aren't guys, you know, that will come available, you know, as training camp approaches or guys get cut. You know, there's a guy they picked up a couple weeks ago, Greg Jr. Is it Greg Jr.? His last name is Jr. and he's a junior, I'm told. They signed him a couple of weeks ago off the street. I think he was a former sixth round pick of the Jaguars. He was running, got some run with the ones and the twos and OTAs. I mean, he's number 38. I don't have my roster in front of me.
Gregory Jr.
Yeah.
Gregory Jr. I had Greg part, but Gregory. Gregory Jr. Jr. Like, this is a guy who's not a nobody, right? And, I mean, fans won't probably know a lot about him, but this is a guy who they probably clearly think can possibly help the group.
So with this release, Rob, as we talk with Rob Domofsky, Jair Alexander has been released by the Green Bay Packers. The Packers get a nice little bump in salary cap because this ends up being a post-June 1 release.
Right.
What do you think some of the things they could do with that money that they now find themselves flush with?
Yeah, so there'll be they were at about $30 million in cap space before this release, and they're going to pick up, I think, what, about 17?
Yeah,
16
I saw a number that had them with the third most cap space in the NFL.
Yeah,
right,
I think
now
they were in the top 10 even before this.
Right.
So I don't know if it allows them to do something that they couldn't already do, because they probably could have already done something with that much cap space. And they you know, they only have one more draft pick to sign, I believe the second round pick, which won't take up, you know, a ton of that cap space. So I guess I don't think all of a sudden, Gabe, they can just say, oh, well, look, we picked up all this, we can go do something. I think they could have or could do something anyway.
Will Zach Tom have a contract before the season starts?
I'm going to say not, maybe not before the season starts, but definitely sometime before the season is over. I mean, they've had plenty of guys over the years that have done deals, you know, in October, November. I mean, heck, David Bakhtiari's deal was done in November and then gets hurt a few weeks later. I don't think it necessarily has to be done before the season. I don't think Zach Tom's a guy who's going to say, I'm not playing without a new deal. But he's clearly in their plans.
Do they take some of this extra money they have and guarantee some money for Elgton Jenkins?
You know, that's that's what Elgton Jenkins wants, and we've reported that before, that he wants to protect against the loss of future earnings. He's got no guaranteed money left on his deal. They're not going to – I shouldn't say they're not going to. I highly doubt they will, you know, give him an extension or redo his deal in a significant way, because it sets a bad precedent, because he's got 2 years left on his deal, and they'd never, hardly ever, unless it's a quarterback, do that with a player who's got more than 1 year left on his deal. But, I mean, they're going to have to do something for Elgton. You know, Elgton's not, from what I was told, Elgton's not necessarily upset about the move to center. He's just upset that, you know, that he thinks moving to center, you know, is going to hurt him in his next contract, well, and wants some added money now.
Well, because also, I mean, you look at the contract, Rob, and obviously the way most of these work, they end up being a little more backloaded. You're making more money in the fourth year. And when he signed this contract, he's like, yeah, you're a guard. Maybe we'll kick you out to tackle, though, because there was some debate if that was going to happen.
Yep.
So the money he's making next year seems like a lot for a center when you take a look around the league, and I'm sure Elton's aware of that, and he could easily be released from that contract next year. You know, so it's really, he's got 1 year left on his deal moving into center. I get where he wants a little more security.
Yeah, exactly. Because let's say he moves to center and, you know, it goes okay, but they think, well, you know, he's going to make in 2026, his base salary is $18.5 million. You know, maybe they say, you know, he's good, but he's not $18.5 million good, so we're going to move on. And then, you know, there's no way he's getting that kind of money on the open market at center, probably. So, yeah, I understand where Elgton's coming from. And from his standpoint, look, he's been, I don't want to say the good soldier, but he's moved around for the team, right? Mm-hmm. There have been games where he's played everywhere on the offensive line at one point or another. And I think he's like, hey, you know, I helped you guys out, help me out a little bit. And you know, I think the only way to do that is guaranteeing some of this money.
Rob, what was your reaction and how did you perceive the local and national conversation about Jordan Love and sort of the reaction from both him and Matt LaFleur about the idea of regressing or simply just needing to play better? Gabe and I were talking about it. We just found it interesting, sort of the defense that Matt LaFleur seemed to offer up for Jordan that they don't necessarily grant to other players on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think quarterback, as we know, quarterbacks are handled differently anyway. You know, I do think that maybe, you know, there is that people weren't giving Jordan Love the pass for the injury, and not saying that they should have, but it was like it wasn't even taken into consideration, Josh. It was just, you know, Jordan Love didn't have the year that he had last year. You know, I think from the Packers standpoint, I think they felt like maybe it was a little bit, you know, they're going to stand up for their guy a little bit. I did think the most interesting part of that, though, was Jordan Love snapping back is probably too strong, but for him, it was snapping back because I've never heard him challenge or, you know, he's normally been completely non-confrontational or, you know, he's just willing to let that stuff go. And he snapped back at the idea that, you know, it wasn't as good a year. I don't remember exactly how the question was phrased, but he definitely snapped back. So I think it's at least noteworthy.
It seems like everybody wants to cling onto the word regressed or regression when the reality is, Rob, and I think everybody, Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love would agree that if the Packers want to achieve their goals and they want to be more than a 7 seed that gets bounced in the playoffs early, Jordan Love just has to play better. Like, whether or not he regressed last year, I don't think is, to me, the issue. It's, hey, he just, and not to say that he can't, he's going to be going into year 3, but he has to play better and he has to be more consistent for the Packers to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and maybe that's needing a go-to receiver, right? Maybe that's needing a guy that, in a playoff game, when you absolutely have to have something, he'll catch it. Maybe that's, you know, guys not dropping passes as much. And I think I don't think anybody would debate, Gabe, that if they're going to go where they want to go and where fans want them to go, that the offense from a passing game standpoint has to be better. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they sort of figure out, you know, how they can still get the most out of Josh Jacobs, but also not just become a running team also, right? I mean, like, you have to throw the ball in this league, and Very few teams can win it just running the ball. And I think it'll be interesting to see what the next evolution of this offense is, trying to marry up both of those things.
What's the golf game like right now?
You know, it was terrible for most of the for most of the spring, and it is not for lack of playing. Hopefully my bosses aren't listening to this, but I have definitely gotten my share in. But the last week or so, I've seen a little bit of a turnaround. Shot 75 on Saturday.
Attaboy.
And nice. 80 yesterday, but had a couple of doubles. So yeah. I feel like I made three birdies and shot 80. So I feel like that I can give myself a little bit of a pass there. But before that, man, my handicap was creeping up toward 10. And I said, if I got the double digits, I quit. As someone who was once a 1.8 or 2.0 handicap, yeah. I said, if I got to double digits, I quit. And right. I was 9 point something. Now I'm back in the sevens.
Okay. Hopefully, I was about to say, the 75 is going to help.
I feel like, Gabe, I don't know how you feel about this. You're younger than me. You're probably still hanging on to hopes of scratch. I feel like I can legitimately be like a 4 or 5 again, but I'm not a 10, and I would refuse to play as a 10.
All right. Well, if you want to drive down 43 at some point and join me for a round at the Wisconsin Country Club, we'd love to have you out there, bud.
Oh, the place is great. I would love to.
All right, we'll set that up. Well, you know, Rob and I will finally get to play some golf this. Enjoy the last few days here for Packers OTAs before summer now hits, and hopefully you get a little bit of a break because now you don't have to worry about the Jair news.
Right, this is a good week, man. This is like the last week of school, sort of, but it's an important one too. Like it has, it's not like you're just, mailing it in, and the teacher's showing movies and. You know, you get to go outside and do, you know, play kickball. Like, this is a real week, and it should be an interesting week. It's sort of a, I like the way the end of the off season because there's going to be some news. There already has been some news. So it'll be a good week from that standpoint. And then you get away from it. And then here we go. I sort of look at the end of this week is the end of last season. Like, last season hasn't ended yet. This week is the end of the season.
Oh, okay. I like the way you put that and phrase that. All right. Well, you enjoy the week, Rob. Can't wait to see you on the golf course, bud.
All right. We'll be seeing you guys.
Thanks, Rob.
Rob Domofsky joins us in season on Mondays, but joined us today because big breaking news with Jair Alexander being released.
For your next big event, Noble Catering has to be your first call. Southeastern Wisconsin's premier craft caterer, preferred by over 30 venues in the area. And coming up in the spring of 2026, Noble's new headquarters, Brixton's Turn, a 400-person event venue located in the heart of Bayview's Harbor District. Have beverage needs for that upcoming party? Neat Beverage Catering offers mobile bartending to elevate that event. And last, but most certainly not least, check out the stunning riverfront bar inside the Associated Bank River Center Vault. A perfect summer spot before a night out on the town or a ball game. Featuring happy hour specials, a menu with tremendous flatbreads, and a raw bar. And of course, an incredible view of the Milwaukee River.
Breaking green and gold news on ESPN Milwaukee. The Packers and Jair Alexander are no more. React to the news of the day right here on 94.5 ESPN, ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Jair no longer a Packer, but Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports reporting that the Bills were a team that held trade talks with the Packers around Jair Alexander. Obviously, that did not come to fruition, but maybe keep an eye on the Bills, despite drafting Maxwell Hairston as a team that could be interested in Jair Alexander as he is now on the open market. Will the Intouch? I'm guessing they're going to continue to talk about this. Coming up next.